Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Are going on. So one thing is tonight we have prayer from 6 to 7 p.m. And I would challenge you to show up for that. It's just an incredible week, way to really start off your week. There's some just amazing time just to spend with God, where we spend an hour, we throw some praise music, some worship music in the background, and you can just spend some time connecting with God through that, through worship, or even there are some people that bring their journals, they journal through that time. Some people read their Bible, different things, and then we close out in prayer, and it's just a powerful way to start off your week. So I'll challenge you for that. And then also tonight, we do have Student Life. That's at 5 p.m., and Student Life, again, is doing some incredible stuff right now. They are in the middle of their summertime competition. So they are getting points, and they're actually divided into teams where they're competing against each other, and they get points for bringing friends, they get points for bringing their Bible, they get points for even remembering something that's said on a Sunday morning. So if you are a student lifer, if you're in grades 6 through 12, remember something I said, and you will get points for that. It'll be amazing. So I challenge you, if you know a student, you are a student, come here tonight at 5 p.m. And then again, Student Life is going on their camping trip July 21st. Through July 23rd, and actually that's a Friday through Sunday. They're meeting here at 3:30 that Friday, the 21st, leaving at 4, so if you're not here, if you're here after 4, you're going to get left behind. So be here at 3:30, leaving at 4, and then they'll be back Sunday during second service. So, and registration forms are at the Connect desk, and you can also see Caleb Nilo or Denise Weaver for more details on that. And then finally, July 30th, we are taking Life Change on the road. So Life Change at Velvet Ice Cream just down the road. It's going to be an incredible time really just to hang out together, but we're actually going to celebrate those who've made a decision to follow Jesus. We're going to celebrate with baptisms. So we're going to do baptisms at the river. So if you have not been baptized and you want to be baptized, you can still sign up. My email is up there. It's in the bulletin as well. Just send me an email and I'll get you on the list. I think we have about 6 or 7 right now that's going to be baptized. But we are going to celebrate with them. They're going to share a little bit about their testimonies. And then also, we are going to do a church picnic that day as well. So after the baptism, we'll come back to Shelter House B. That's where we're going to meet at, but we'll come back to that and we'll have a church picnic. The church is providing paper products and drinks. The rest will be like old school church potluck style. Bring a side dish, bring a main dish, bring a dessert, bring something good, bring your favorite dish. But be ready to feed everybody, and then we're going to eat together and have that picnic there. So those are some things that's going on in July. And again, it's a lot, but it's exciting stuff. And one thing that we're doing, too, is we are in the middle of this series entitled Stories, which has been incredible. We've heard some incredible stories already. We're learning about some incredible stories in the Bible. And really, the goal is to walk away for our own stories and our own stories of faith, to be encouraged with that. So again, on Father's Day, I interviewed my dad, which was awesome, and it was just an incredible story. I learned things about him that I didn't know. Then we talked about a guy in the Bible named Abel, and then if you missed last week, it was really powerful. We interviewed two veterans, John Odom and Jim Long. So again, if you missed any of those, you can always check those out at our website, www.mylifechangechurch.com. But I challenge you, as always, to commit to coming Sunday mornings and even bringing somebody with you, because really, these stories are an easy connection point. And what we've learned from a story of faith is that this faith really, and our own faith, can unlock a legacy in our life, because faith unlocks a legacy. And this principle, again, comes from our memory verse, which is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. So hopefully you have that memorized by now, but if you don't, I would challenge you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, because we're going to spend some time in there all day today. So Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, you can go there with me. And again, if you don't have your Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app, free resource that you can put on your phone, and you can take the Bible with you wherever you go and read your Bibles daily. But again, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Faith Hall of Fame. And it goes over all these lists of incredible people. But really, verses 1 and 2 kind of breaks it down of why we're even talking about these people. And this is what it says. It says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived in the past. Right? The reason we even talk about these people, the reason we're interviewing people on the stage, the reason we're sharing with some of these stories from the Bible is because of their faith. Because their faith is what unlocks a legacy. And today what we're going to do is we're going to learn about a guy named Abraham. So if you grew up in church, there's a chance that you probably learned about Abraham. If you ever went to like a vacation Bible school, there's a chance that you probably learned about Abraham. But right now, I'm going to tell you what's going through your head. There's a song about Abraham that's going through your head. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to have some fun with this. So everybody stand up. We're going to get a little bit active. Everybody stand up. And the best way to lead this song is not by adults, but it's by kids, right? So Kids Life is coming, and we're going to sing Father Abraham. Cool. Do we have an amazing Kids Life? If you didn't realize that, some of the kids are just a blast, and we have amazing teachers and volunteers that jump in there. If you want to be a part of that, as always, you can jump in and be on the team, and you can help with Kids Life. All you got to do is do a serve team application at the Connect desk, and there's also information so we can do a background check on you as well. So it is a blast to spend time with these kids, and obviously they're making a huge difference, right? Because these kids are going to remember this forever, and so are we, right? But my Father Abraham, if you think about it, why are we even singing that song? Why? Because he left this incredible legacy, right? He was the father of many sons, and his legacy even continues on because we are one of them, right? So let's all praise the Lord. So turn to your neighbor right now and say, hey, I'm part of that legacy. And if you think about it, again, it's a legacy that started with faith. Because if you don't really know the story of Abraham, we're going to dig into it today. But the story that Abraham is the father of so many is really this giant leap of faith. In fact, it's a giant leap of faith that he was even the father of one. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump into this. And the story of Abraham is found in Genesis chapters 11 through 25. We're going to be here all day because we're going to read every single word of it. Okay, we're not going to do that, obviously. What we're going to do is I'm going to put that's actually in your bulletin. So I'm going to challenge you to take your bulletin home with you, and I'm going to challenge you to go read through that story all this week. Read your Bibles every single day. Read it more than just on a Sunday morning. And if you're thinking, like, what should I read? Well, this week you can read about Abraham, and you can go through Genesis 11 through 25. But what today we're going to do is we're going to spend some time in Hebrews again, chapter 11, because it does a great job for us, and it kind of nicely summarizes some of Abraham's life. So I'll kind of be cross-referencing some of Genesis, but what we'll do is we'll spend most of our time here in Hebrews chapter 11. So if you're already there, which you should be, because that was our memory verses, you can just bounce down. We're going to read verses 8 through 12. So let's check this out. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand in the seashore. If you look at Abraham, again, everything he did, right? Everything that he did that led to his legacy was done by his faith. Because faith unlocks a legacy. And really, it unlocks our potential to live out God's plan. Because faith is fully trusting in him. In fact, what I want us to walk away with this story from Abraham is this, is that God's plan requires our complete trust in him. God's plan requires our complete trust in him. And the truth is, this is a statement that's kind of easy to say, but it's so hard to live out. Because oftentimes God's plan doesn't make sense. And oftentimes God's plan is not easy, right? Again, Abraham's story, it started off many of our stories. If you look at Abraham, what was he doing? He was questioning where he's going. I think many of us, we do that same thing. We have the question of, where am I going? Again, verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. And right there, when you hear that, many of us, maybe we relate to that right now. Like maybe that's where you are, right? Maybe you're at a place in your life where you kind of feel lost. Like you feel like the directions aren't really clear. Maybe you feel like the directions aren't even really there or even present, right? You feel like you just don't know where you're going. And the truth is, it's a frustrating feeling, right? But this is where Abraham found himself many times. In fact, God had Abraham leave everything he knew and called him to a place that he knew nothing about. Again, Genesis chapter 12, it describes this in a little bit more detail. But God told Abraham to leave the comfort of everything that he had known. And what did Abraham do? He trusted God and he left. Right? He took his wife, he took his nephew, he took everything he owned and he set off to follow God's plan based on trust. Not even knowing where he was going. But if you look at it though, this questioning of where am I going, it did cause Abraham a little bit of trouble. Just like for many of us, it causes us to kind of get into a little bit of trouble as well. See, there was times where Abraham actually trusted himself more than he trusted God. See, there was times where he tried to control things more than he allowed God to control things. See, Abraham and Sarah, they were a little older, and they were actually traveling through what was Egypt, and they were going through this, and Abraham was about 75, Sarah was about 65, but they're going through Egypt, and let me just tell you, they were actually like good-looking old people. So like 65 back then was like the new 25 or something. The age was a little bit different. So Sarah was really, really good-looking. So Abraham got a little bit of scared of this. And he's like, oh, God, we're going through this nation. What am I going to do? I'm trusting you to leave everything behind, but I don't know about my wife, so what am I going to do? He decided to trust himself more. And really, for that lack of a better term, he basically pimps out his wife, right? He basically sells her to these Egyptians for some products, for some sheep, for some cattle, for some donkeys, for some camels, really for some servants, and he's really trying to save Sarah, but he just sells her off, right? Like, you can't make this stuff up. Literally, go back and read Genesis. It talks about this. In fact, he even did this twice in his life. So obviously, God had to step in. And in the case of the Egyptians, God caused the Egyptians to get a little bit sick. The secret comes out of the bag about Sarah being Abraham's wife. The king of Egypt gets really, really mad and then kicks Abraham and Sarah out of Egypt. And they continue to travel on. But again, they didn't really know where they're going, right? They were trusting God, but they didn't know where they're going. And really, from this portion of the story, this is what you can see. God's calling often precedes his revelation. In fact, God's calling often and even most times precedes his blessing, which requires trust. But I think too many times our trust is based on revelation and blessing. Too many times I think our own trust is based on information and results. And just like Abraham, I think too many times we trust ourselves, we trust the past, we trust the things that we've experienced more than we trust God. And that's not faith. But God's plan requires our complete trust in him. But it's so hard when we have that lingering question of where are we going? And oftentimes, when we have that question of where are we going, we have this feeling that we just don't fit in, right? How many times have you guys ever felt that way, where you just didn't fit in? The truth is, I think we've all felt that way, right? And becoming a Christian and giving our everything to God, trusting fully in God, doesn't make that necessarily go away. Like, becoming a Christian and trusting fully in God is not that quick fix. In fact, it will be difficult at times. In fact, living a life of faith will sometimes leave you feeling like an outcast. There's going to be times where you just don't feel like you fit in. There's going to be times where you feel like you're not standing on permanent ground. And this is the point where we see many others give up. This is the point where we want to give up as well. We want to live in this safe and secure world, but that's not faith. You don't hear great stories of heroes, right? You don't hear great stories of these giants of the faith that start with they lived a safe and secure life. They knew everything that was going to happen, right? No, instead, it's more like Abraham's story, where he was a stranger in a foreign land and lived in tents. Again, you go back to verse 9. It says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, and he lived in tents. Think about this. A tent is not a permanent structure, right? A tent is not very stable. I don't know about you, but if I lived in a tent this past Friday, chances are my home would be completely gone, right? I mean, my grill got thrown around my yard and got destroyed, let alone a tent. Like, it's not a stable structure. And for many of you, maybe that's where you feel your lives. That kind of describes your lives right now. You're not living in something stable, right? It feels like you just don't fit in. Maybe you're even in this transition period in your life. You're at a place where it feels a little bit dangerous, like you're stepping out into the unknown. And the truth is, you probably are, because you're going to live that life of faith. And we need to trust God through all the circumstances. The fact is, Satan wants us to give up. At this point, this is where Satan wants us to do. He wants us to give up. But don't give up. Continue to trust. Continue to trust God even for the impossible. Because leaving a legacy, we will at some point always face the impossible. At some point in our life, whether we're trying to leave a legacy, whether we're trying to live this life of faith, we face the impossible. But how we react will make all the difference. How we respond to the impossible will determine the legacy we live. Again, if you look at Abraham and Sarah, they faced the impossible. And they did. You see examples where they trusted themselves, but you also see examples where they trusted God. See, Abraham and Sarah, they had this incredible legacy of faith, but again, they were far from perfect, right? Again, we learned about Abraham's mistake, but if you look at Sarah, she basically studded out Abraham to a lady named Hagar to make a baby, right? In Genesis chapter 16, you see that Sarah's faced with this impossible item, right? And she trusted herself more than she trusted God. See, Sarah was actually beyond that age of being able to have a baby. So what she did is she saw their slave girl, Hagar, who could have a baby and said, Abraham, you go ahead and sleep with her and then have a baby with her. That way we can have this, we can have generations and a nation to come. So this is what Abraham does. Sleeps with Hagar, they have a baby, and then the boy's named Ishmael. Now again, this actually, you look at this, and this isn't God's plan. In fact, the angels sent down, and it states in Genesis 16:12 about what Ishmael is. It says, Ishmael will be like a wild donkey. He will be against everyone, and everyone will be against him. He will attack all his brothers. And if you dig into that a little bit more, just a side note on Ishmael, that's actually where the Muslim religion is kind of derived from. It's derived from Ishmael and his descendants. The truth is, it makes a difference in how we respond to the impossible in our lives. So are we going to trust God, or are we going to trust ourselves? In our lives, we're going to face something that we cannot do on our own. Again, for Abraham and Sarah, it was having a child. Sarah was beyond the age of childbearing. And if you look at Abraham, it said he was as good as dead. They were facing the impossible. The truth is, we might be at that same place right now, where we're facing the impossible. We may look at our own selves and we think, man, I'm as good as dead, right? I'm useless. Like, maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe at one time you felt like God had some incredible plan for you. You felt like you were going to really walk in that plan and do some amazing things. But now you look back at your life, some of the mistakes you made, some of the things that you said, some of the things that you did, and you think, oh, how is God going to use me now, right? I'm as good as dead. Maybe you look at some situations in your life and you're thinking, okay, whether it's your finances and there's mistakes there, and you look, you know what, I'm as good as dead. Maybe it's in your marriage. You're looking at some of the things you did and you're thinking, I'm as good as dead. It's impossible to fix this, right? It's impossible to fix this relationship. It's impossible to me even to be happy in my career, in my work situation, because of the things that I'm going through, right? You feel as good as dead. But let me encourage you this. That feeling as good as dead is really just an opportunity for God to work. Our as good as dead is God's opportunity. Our natural limit is just the start to the supernatural. For Abraham, it was an inheritance. For Abraham, it was the promised land. It was a city with foundations built by God. It was descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand and the seashore. It was a legacy. And it's the same for each and every one of us. It's a legacy. Imagine in your life where you could trust God that an impossible could turn into the promised land. Imagine that feeling of not being longing, of that feeling of completely feeling like an outcast. Imagine that feeling like a feeling of turning into foundations built by God. What if our impossible turned into a miracle? That's what happens when we trust God. But God's plans requires trust. So let me ask you, where do you need to trust Him in your life today? Maybe it's getting over your past. Maybe it's something you've done that you've held on too long. God's saying, you know what, trust me with that struggle. Trust me with that memory that you have that keeps creeping up. Maybe it's a broken relationship and He's saying, trust me with that relationship. Maybe it's your finances and He's saying, trust me with your finances. Maybe it's your marriage, whatever it is. Ask yourself, where do you need to trust God? And imagine what could happen when you do. God's plan requires our complete trust in Him. And here's how we do it. To live a life of faith, just like Abraham, to leave this legacy, to give God our complete trust. Number one, we must obey. Again, you hear this theme pretty much in every one of my sermons, right? Because really, obedience is the start to anything good in the Bible. If you look at it, all throughout the Bible, you see obedience lead to blessing. And it's no different with the legacy either. Obedience is faith in action. Obedience is trust in action. And we must obey. If you look at Abraham, his life was all about obedience. Again, in verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went. He obeyed and went. He took action. And we need to take action in our life as well. A life of faith is a life full of action, even if it doesn't always make sense. Even if on paper it's a little bit risky, right? What's an action step that you need to take today? Maybe for you, maybe that act of obedience is simply making a commitment to read your Bible daily. Maybe for you, that act of obedience is spending some time in prayer. Maybe it's coming to prayer tonight, right? Maybe for you, it's a little bit riskier, right? Maybe God's dealing with a certain issue in your life and that you keep ignoring, but he's telling you to walk in obedience. That could be even embarrassing. That could be really even confessing about something that you've gone through or even struggling with, right? Maybe for you, that act of obedience is to confess that you've been struggling with pornography and to walk away from it and to walk with somebody who's helping you, right? Maybe for you, that's just to kind of confess that maybe you're going through an addiction and to maybe even like have somebody walk with you through that addiction so that you can overcome it. Maybe for you, maybe that act of obedience is to stop gossiping, right? To maybe even stop listening to other people gossip because we get so excited about when we hear a story. But instead, what are we called to do? We're called to shut it down. What is that act of obedience? Listen, we're all prompted to do something. But are we willing to obey? Are we willing to live it out? Again, maybe for you, maybe you have an issue with drinking. Maybe you trust a glass of wine or a bottle of beer more than you do God. Are you going to obey God and show that you fully trust in him? It's time to trust through obedience. So number one is obey. Number two is look forward. Look forward to the future. Look forward to what is to come. Don't look back, but look forward. And then looking forward, what we have to do is we have to think positive. We have to think optimistic. To trust in God and to live out this faith, we have to look forward. Hebrews 11:10, it says, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham is here, right? And he's looking forward to what's to come. He's not dwelling on everything that he left behind. He's not dwelling on all the mistakes that he even did in the past. He's not dwelling on anything from the past. But what he's doing is he's looking forward with optimism. How can you look forward today? What does that even look like, right? Maybe for you, maybe that means you actually let go of some of the things in your past. Maybe for you, that means letting go means that you actually have to go and talk to the person that you're holding an offense against. And you need to let them know that you're going to forgive them in that. Maybe for you, you need to ask forgiveness from somebody, right? Because you did something and you feel this guilt that you need to let go. Listen, maybe for you, that even means going and talking to like a professional counselor, somebody that can walk you through this as well. And that's okay. But listen, to look forward, we have to move past our past. But we're called to look forward. That's what trusting is. That's what living a life of faith is. Again, looking forward, maybe that means you just need to allow yourself to dream again. We all at one point dream big dreams, right? Every little kid you ask about what they want to be something incredible, and their eyes just light up when you ask about it, right? When's the last time your eyes lit up about what you're thinking in the future, right? Maybe you need to dream again. For you, maybe you just need to take a day off and spend some time alone. Take a break, take a hike, take a drive, and just dream again. Pray, really pray to look forward and trust God for what is to come. If you look at it and dig into the story again in Genesis, Abraham was there, and he actually was there, and God had him to remove him from his tent to go out and look outside and up at the stars. He had to remove him from the situation. I think for many of us, we need to remove ourselves from the situation in order for us to look forward. The truth is, we all have issues. When we're in our own little bubble, we think our issues and we think our problems are the biggest thing. We think it's the end of the world. But the truth is, if we remove ourselves from those bubbles, we can look forward and we can see that God still has good plans for each and every one of us. Trusting in him means looking forward. And then number three is to consider God faithful. And really, this is a form of gratitude. We need to be grateful in all we do. And trust and faith include gratitude. It includes considering God faithful through it all. Hebrews 11:11 says this. It says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise." Because she considered him faithful. When's the last time you considered God faithful, even in the midst of something you're going through that didn't seem hopeful? Again, Sarah was past the age of childbearing, but she still considered God faithful. Are we doing the same? If you find yourself in a struggle, if you find yourself like Sarah did, past that age, or like Abraham did, was as good as dead, I want to challenge you to live this out, which literally means that you might actually have to get a piece of paper out and write some things down. Listen, you can write down all your inefficiencies, you can write down all your insufficiencies, you can write down all these things, but on the other side, make a list of all the times where God was faithful. Maybe if you keep a journal to do this, maybe you need to go back and you need to read some of your journal entries to see where God was faithful, to see each and every one of those times. If you don't keep a journal, maybe for you the action step to consider God faithful is to start keeping a journal, to start writing in it daily and keeping track of all the things that God is doing in your life. Maybe for you, maybe you just need to sit down with somebody, whether it's a spiritual mentor in your life or somebody that's a little further down the road, and just ask them, "Hey, tell me about the times God was faithful." Listen, you'll be encouraged. Consider God faithful. And the number four, offer everything. To fully and completely trust in God means that we have to become radical. God wants to stretch us, right? God wants to take us a little further. He wants to challenge us, and he wants to grow our faith. But the truth is, to bring about radical results, God demands radical trust. If you look at these parts of the story that we just jumped in today about Abraham and Sarah, there's really just a buildup for what God had next. In fact, if you jump down to verses 17 and 19 in Hebrews 11, it says this. It says, "It was by faith that Abraham, when God tested him, offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. God made the promises to Abraham, but Abraham was ready to offer even his own son as a sacrifice. God had said, 'The descendants I promised you will be from Isaac.' And Abraham believed that God could raise the dead. And really, it was as if Abraham got Isaac back from the dead." Abraham offered everything. What are we willing to offer God? Are we willing to offer him everything? The truth is, faith in him is living out the fact that we love God more than we love his blessings. Faith in him means that we love God more than we even love his promises. And means that we're willing to even offer his promises and his blessings right back to him. Are we willing to offer all of ourselves and all that he's blessed us with? If we do, God will always remain faithful. Again, if you look at Abraham, he was willing to offer his child, the child that he waited for, right? The child in which God's promises laid within, the child in which generations and generations were supposed to come, right? He was willing to offer Isaac. And because he was willing, if you go into the story a little bit more, God provided the sacrifice. God provided a lamb, right? And if we're willing to offer all of who we are, the good news is that God will provide the sacrifice as well. God will provide the lamb for each and every one of us. This is why when you hear Jesus referred to the Lamb of God, it's because he's the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. He sent his son to live a perfect life, to die on a cross and be raised again, to be the perfect sacrifice for each and every one of us. But the start to God's perfect plan for each and every one of us is to trust in him and to offer everything and all of who we are. Are you willing to offer everything? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for speaking to us. God, we thank you for challenging us to leave a legacy just like Abraham. And God, we pray that you be with us, God. God, we pray that you be with us each step of the way. Help us to be obedient in whatever area that you're dealing with in us, God. Help us to walk in obedience in that. God, help us to even look forward, no matter what our past looks like, God. Help us to look forward and know that there's a land, God, that's built with your foundations, God, that you are the builder and the architect of the future, and we can look forward knowing that, God, and we can be hopeful in that. And God, we pray that we can consider you faithful. Let us take some time. Let us take some time to remember all the things that you have done and trust in you that you will continue to do amazing and great things. And God, right now we offer you. We offer you everything. God, we offer you all of who we are. In fact, if there's someone here right now, maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you did, but you walked away. And maybe God's calling you to that step, to that step of faith, to leave a life of legacy, God, to leave a life of legacy and maybe just to move forward. And God is asking you to offer everything. If that's you right now, with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, and you're here today and you say, I want to offer everything. I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. I just want you to simply raise your hand. God, help us to live this out and to offer all of us. God, we pray right now that we can just go to the next level because and only because of you. We love you, we thank you. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.